The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
God bless you. He does, yeah. All right. Well, it's always an honor to be back here to partner with the Weigels and what God's doing here with all of you at Living Waters Church. God is good, amen?
Amen.
All right, so I've been here a few times. How many of you have seen me here before? Okay, oh, most. Okay, how many of you have not seen me here before? Well, there's still a lot of hands. All right, good enough. Well, we'll have some fun today. God is good. He does really good things, and he does them here in Minnesota. So let's start with a word of prayer. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence here. Yeah, we welcome your healing angels here. And God, we exalt you and worship you. We praise your name. We want you glorified here today. God, we give you this time. Give me your words to speak. Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, God is good. I always like to start by sharing testimonies. We're going to have a healing time here later on today. And I get all of you guys involved. For those of you that are not used to me, I like to get everybody involved praying for each other. And so God's just been doing so many amazing things, and it's just been fun to see him at work. So I've been here in Minnesota the last couple weeks, and yeah, amazing stuff. There was one of a bunch of miracles that happened up in Alexandria was a woman came to the service who had had numbness in her hand. It had come from her neck having issues and being out of alignment. People in the service prayed for each other, and as they prayed for her, all of a sudden the people around her, they were praying for her, could hear a crackle, crackle, crackle going on in her neck as all of her neck shifted into place, and then all of a sudden her numbness was gone.
Yay.
Thank you, Jesus. Before Minnesota, I was in Southern California and Mexico, and many good things are happening there as well. There was one woman on the east side of Los Angeles. She had had knee problems for quite a while. I think one knee, it was 5 years ago she had had surgery, and the other knee, it was, I think, 12 years ago. And since having surgery done on her knees, she could not walk in a free manner. She could lift her legs, but about a couple inches off the ground, and that was it. And so the people in the service, they prayed for each other. And I always encourage people, okay, test it out. And all of a sudden, the woman, she's pretty excited because she's doing this number without any kind of a problem. God is good. I'll tell you one city that I really think is just on the verge of revival is San Diego. It's just been amazing what God's doing there. I share this because if God does it in one place, there's no reason he can't do it everywhere. Amen? Every testimony is an invitation to an impartation. When we know who we are as God's children, he's backing us up. When we hear somebody else's testimony, it should cause us to say, then there's absolutely no reason that won't happen when I pray.
Yeah.
Amen? So I was down in San Diego doing some ministry. I had a free day, and my friends are like, you got to go meet this pastor. I was like, okay, sure, I'll go meet him. And so they had a Tuesday night service. So I went over, and I met him, and I talked with him for a bit, and I had a free night, so I went to the service there, and I was really impressed. They had a time where people just shared healing testimonies at the beginning, and there was probably 15 different people that shared a testimony of something happening outside of church. Anything from, well, I prayed for the waitress at the restaurant, and she got healed, to I prayed for a coworker, and they got healed, to I went to the gay pride parade, and a whole bunch of them got healed and saved, and then the administrator had a boot on their foot and took that off and got healed, and we asked if we could have a booth in the next gay pride parade to go and pray for people for healing. And she said, of course, go for it. So those were fun testimonies.
Yeah.
But then they stopped the testimonies, not because they ran out of testimonies, but like, okay, we have to get on to worship at some point. We have to get on to the message and so forth. There still was a bunch of hands up. After it was done, I went over to my buddy Eric, and Eric's probably one of the most radical people that I know. And I said, Eric, I said, you know, I did a ton of ministry in San Diego 4 years ago, but I didn't see this so much in San Diego 4 years ago. He says, oh, it wasn't happening in San Diego 4 years ago. I said, yeah, like, how many people do you think were seeing miracles happening consistently on the streets in San Diego 4 years ago? He goes, oh, that's easy, five, me and my four friends. I said, oh, all right. And now? And he's like, oh, hundreds, if not thousands. I said, are you serious? He says, oh yeah, what you saw here today, they could have gone on for 3 hours. And it's not just this church, it's a bunch of churches around town. And I was like, ah, oh, that's encouraging. So me being a good Minnesota boy from up here, God bless our Vikings. This is the time that our prayer life increases, right? But at any rate, I'm like, well, then there's no reason God can't do it here, amen? Yeah. All right, so that was fun. Then just before that, I was in Europe, and God's doing good stuff there as well. He's doing good stuff everywhere. I was doing ministry in Germany in a place called Ravensburg, and just a lot of fun stuff happened. There was maybe a 13, 14-year-old in the service, and for whatever reason, his knee bone didn't grow in right, and so he could literally put his fingers underneath his kneecap, and his mom and dad were right there talking about how he couldn't. Obviously, this caused him problems related to hiking or any kind of sports and pain and whatnot, and so the people are praying for each other in the service, and all of a sudden, he's like, I feel bone where I didn't have bone before. I can't put my fingers underneath my kneecap anymore. God is good. A lot of miracles happened there. We actually held the meetings at a farm, which was interesting enough. The next day, because people were sharing testimonies all that night, I just said, okay, now who here, you have a testimony of something that God healed that you couldn't test out yesterday, but now in the last 24 hours, you know that God did something. Well, so they're sharing, you know, different testimonies of what God did. Well, the farmer, he raises his hand, and I'm like, okay, so what happened? He says, well, I had two cows, and nobody prayed for them. One, they both were sick. One was to the point that we were going to put it to sleep, and just as everybody was getting healed inside, the cows got healed outside. And it brought new meaning to that verse in Jonah chapter 4, the very end of Jonah chapter 4. I don't know if you've ever read this, but where Jonah's having his pity party and God's talking to him, and God talks about, you know, the 120,000 people in Nineveh that he's spared. And then he says, and the cattle. Do you guys know that verse? And I was like, oh yeah, God cares a lot about cows. He's good. Well, so the next day, we sent people out to do what's called the treasure hunt, and I brought a few books with me, some of which I've brought before, but this is Kevin Dedman's book, and talking about how to do a treasure hunt. And so we sent people out to go and do a treasure hunt, and this is their first time doing anything like this. How many of you have ever gone on a treasure hunt before? Yeah, a lot of you. So they're writing down, like, okay, Holy Spirit, who do we go and talk to? And they write down what God shows them to go and find these people and see them get touched with God's love and his goodness and his power. So they write down the information, and they take off and go down to where the first location they had. So they get to the location, and they see this woman there, and they start talking to her, and they're like, hey, you know, excuse me, this might seem a little funny. We're on a treasure hunt. We think you're the treasure. And she's like, no. And they're like, yeah, see, look, on my treasure map, I have this, and this. She goes, no, you don't know what I'm here to do. And they're like, well, what are you here to do? Well, I came here today to kill myself. And they're like, oh, you don't want to do that. Do you know where you're going to go if you die? And she says, yeah, I know exactly where I'd go. I'd go to hell where I belong because I'm a bad person. And they're like, yeah, you don't want to do that. And so they start talking to her and telling her, actually, the reason why God sent us here, we don't know who you are. We just wrote down who the Holy Spirit told us to go and find. And all everything God showed us was you. God knew that you're coming here to do this, and he doesn't want you to do this. And all of a sudden, this woman's like, wow, you're right. I really don't want to do this. And she was able to realize that God had actually sent them there to stop her from killing herself. And it was a short time later, actually, the police had been notified, and the police came and picked her up and brought her away to a psychiatric hospital. But you never know what happens in the Christian life when we're willing to go out, as I heard talked about earlier. See people get touched. And then before Europe, I was in Alaska, and God did amazing stuff. Alaska was really powerful. Everywhere is really powerful. Actually, I'm sorry, just to go back a second. That testimony of that boy in Germany actually reminded me of a testimony from Bloomington here, where there was a woman that had come to the service. She had no kneecap, and she had three screws in her knee. So the people are praying for each other in the service. The guy who actually prayed for her was the guy who was leading worship. He came up to me afterwards and said, Paul, I still don't believe what happened, but I felt it. I could feel the metal screws. I could feel that there was no kneecap before. And as I prayed for her, all of a sudden there's a kneecap there where my hand was, and there wasn't a kneecap there before. God is good. Anyway, so that was fun. And then Alaska, yeah, really powerful. I actually have a fun little healing clip from Alaska. So if you want to go ahead and put that going, that'd be great.
Oh, and I'm with Hal and Crystal here in Alaska. And God did some amazing metal miracles for them. So, Hal, let's have you go first. What did God do?
Well, for 35 years, I've had three staples in my ankle to immobilize it. So I had no side-to-side movement or counter-prone, even ground movement. And now I've got it.
And you could not do that before?
No. For 35 years, I've been able to do it.
I'm only 34, so that's impressive.
You got to get side-to-side also.
Oh, so you couldn't do that either?
No.
Because of the three staples?
Yes, it was fused.
Come on, Jesus. I love it when fused things become not fused because of Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. And what happened for you there, Crystal?
In 1988, I was in a car accident and broke my arm, and they had to put a rod in it.
Uh-huh.
And I've only been able to do it about that far, and
okay.
Now I can extend all the way without pain.
Wow.
This would send me through the moon.
Wow, and now you're good.
It's totally good.
So every time it would cause pain or just sometimes?
I couldn't do that at all. It would just be like that.
Wow.
But now I can extend it all the way.
Okay, cool.
So
God is good. He's real. He causes metal to either disappear or have hinges or something like that here in Alaska.
No problem.
So God bless you guys. Thank you for sharing.
That is good. Yeah, there was, that short period of time, there was, I think, six people who came to a service that had a deaf ear, four hear perfectly out of their deaf ear, one could hear but not perfectly yet. And one of them, the deaf ear opened, but just a little bit. And then there was a woman out of a wheelchair. Another one didn't need their cane. Another one lost their walker. Another one needed to hold on to somebody to walk, and they were walking fine, and on and on and on. A woman with a tumor in her chest disappeared on the spot, and more metal miracles. And yeah, Jesus does this stuff. He's good at it, right? He's really good at it, and he likes to do it here in Minnesota. And I mean, there's been so many miracles that have been happening at this church. God does a lot of really, really, really fun stuff here, and I know we're going to have fun today. So we will have a healing time here today, but yeah, I'm going to attempt to share something. We'll see how this goes. Jesus, help me. Amen. All right, so in Matthew chapter 18, there's a story in the Bible that probably many of you are familiar with. We see the story of a man who has a great big debt, and he owes this to the king. All right, you guys familiar with this story?
Yeah.
And what happens to him? He's shown a lot of grace and mercy, and actually his great big debt gets forgiven. There's somebody else who has a much smaller debt that the man who gets forgiven of the great big debt has, okay? But he refuses to forgive the person's debt that was much, 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 much smaller. As a result, bad things happen. He actually gets handed over to the tormentors. All right. So let's think about this for a moment. Is it possible if I choose not to forgive people that I could have tormented my wife?
Yes.
Is it God's will for me to live in torment in my life? No, of course not, right? Too much, I think people make their default response to be a simple asking prayer for whatever. But sometimes the breakthrough doesn't come necessarily by asking God for something, but rather by doing things his way in order to see his will expressed. You see, there's God's way, God's will, and there's God's ways. We have to do things God's way in order to see his will expressed. We don't change God's will to being our experience because we didn't do things his way. We don't change God's will to what our experience is because we refuse to do things God's way. Right? It doesn't work very well. I mean, you can do it if you want. It just probably isn't going to help you out a whole lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so let's say I'm living in my life in unforgiveness, and as a result, that opens up a door for torment to come in my life. And I say, God, I just ask you to make it go away. No, it didn't go away. I guess God just wants me to have torment. This must be my thorn in the flesh. I'm going to go read Job. Well, there's nothing wrong with reading Job, but it's probably not my thorn in the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
But if instead I shift and I'm like, okay, God, I choose to forgive this person. Whoa, all of a sudden the torment disappeared. That was amazing. Because we need to do things God's way in order to see his will expressed. And that carries over to a whole bunch of different things. It doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is a simple formula of do these magic things and voila, because quite frankly, everything works through relationship in the Bible.
Yeah, that's
right. It's only through abiding in him that there's any grace or empowerment to do anything. God didn't make me an island unto myself. He made me absolutely dependent on him, so we don't really get promoted past dependence upon him. Now, related to healing, for example, it sounds really, really great in theory to say, okay, you know, healing isn't really about me, it's about God, you know, and God wants to touch people. So, like, you know, okay, there's a guy over there that needs healing in his body. I could just pray from right here, and God can touch him over there. And, I don't need to actually really go to him. I don't need to actually stop and pray for somebody that needs healing in their body. It sounds really, really great in theory. Problem. When I actually look in the Bible to see how miracles occur, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where there's somebody who needs healing in their body, and they're like, oh, okay, let's, you know what, I'm going to pray for you when I get home, or I'm going to pray for you when I get to the church prayer meeting, and I don't really need to stop. There's a really interesting case study, if you will, about this in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going to the temple. And then on the way, they see a crippled man. You guys know this story? Now, what are they going to the temple to do? Does anybody remember?
Pray.
They're going to the temple at the time of prayer. Like, if we're going to modernize this or contextualize it for today, they're essentially going to the church prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, they see a crippled guy on the side of the road. Now, this isn't America. We love our handicapped people here, and we take care of them. I spend probably half my life in third world nations. And when you're in India or Africa or Philippines or wherever, Mexico, you see somebody who's out there begging, and they're crippled, they're laying on a board, they're whatever, they may or may not have anybody who cares anything about them. They may or may not have anybody who loves them. They may or may not have even showered or bathed in days, weeks, months, years, who knows. It would have been very, very, very easy for Peter and John to see the crippled man over there and say, you know what? I'm already going to the church prayer meeting. I'm just going to pray for you from inside the church prayer meeting that God heals you. Right? Is that what they did?
No.
No, what did they do? They stopped. Because they had learned from Jesus.
Yeah.
Because you never see Jesus walking down the road, and then all of a sudden there's a leper out there, and the leper says, Master, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says, yep, I'm willing. I'll pray for you when I get home. See you later. Right? And I was looking in the Bible and I was like, God, why is it that all of these miracles that we see in the Bible all have some kind of direct personal encounter? The only possible exception I can see of that is the Roman centurion. But even the story of the Roman centurion, Jesus is still having a personal encounter with the Roman centurion on behalf of the person that wasn't there. And I really think it's because we have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God is not some God way out there that could care very little about what's going on in my life. Right?
Yes.
He's the God that wants to intimately know me. He wants to encounter me. He wants to be involved in my life. And yours as well. I'm very thankful for that, quite frankly. So how does God live in Minnesota? As the Holy Spirit inside of all of us. So how are direct personal encounters with God going to happen for people in Minnesota? Well, by the Holy Spirit inside of us. Unless we don't let him out and we don't give him an opportunity. Amen?
Yeah, that's right.
I actually need to stop for people and talk to people if I actually want to see them healed. That's really basic, but I'll tell you, sometimes we can make things really difficult in our minds.
Yeah.
But Jesus intended to be really simple. You can just look and see how he lived and think, oh, my concept of healing doesn't look anything like what Jesus actually did. Maybe my concept of healing's off. Another example. How did they pray for healing in the Bible? Well, how did I always pray for healing in my life? Well, when I was never seeing any breakthrough, I typically would say, God, I just ask you'd heal this person, or God, please, please, please heal this person, or God, if you heal this person, I'll try and be really good all this week. Or I'd pray in my head. But when you actually look at how healing happens in the Bible, nobody's praying for healing in their head. There isn't one recorded prayer for healing that's prayed in somebody's head in the Bible.
That's right.
There isn't one recorded prayer for healing in the Bible that involves asking and begging and pleading with our Father in heaven to heal the person in front of us. Amen. So how do they pray for healing in the Bible? Well, they pray using authority. Jesus would command deaf ears to be open. Jesus would command mute tongues to speak. Peter and John with the crippled man in Acts chapter 3, how did he pray? They prayed, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. They used authority. We can do the same thing today. I tell you, when I shifted from asking, begging, and pleading and seeing no results to using the authority that Jesus died to give me, I started seeing a whole lot of results. It never was really about me. But there is God's way. If we want to see God's will accomplished, it helps to do things his ways.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I wanted to touch really quickly on purity as well. I used to lead purity groups, and God set me free from impurity issues back in 2002, 2003. And that actually gave me a huge passion. Those of you that know me probably know that I used to work at Teen Challenge, and although I'd never done drugs before, I could fully relate what it was like to be a slave to something that wasn't Jesus. And that gave me a very big passion for seeing other people walk in freedom. I used to lead a bunch of guys' purity groups, and I would hear the same type of thing over and over. In fact, I probably told myself this over and over once upon a time as well. It's like, well, I prayed, I asked God to take this away, it didn't go away. You could classify this for whatever kind of dysfunction you want to make it. It doesn't have to be impurity issues. Although, when I look at the American culture today, and I mean, it just seems like people are falling like dominoes, whether it's, you know, Jared now from Subway and Bill Cosby right before that, and you see 50 Shades of Grey only make, what, $100 million or something ridiculous? It's like, okay, I'm pretty sure that we're pretty dysfunctional related to purity in this country. We need Jesus related to this issue, pretty sure. But I'd see guys that would say, well, I prayed and asked God to take it away from me. It never went away, so I guess it's just not that big of a deal, or maybe God doesn't exist, or whatever, because God didn't do it for me on my terms. Actually, the whole Christian life begins to work when we're not trying to make God do stuff for us on our terms. Isn't the whole nature of surrendering my life to Jesus is me not trying to do things on my terms and me saying I'm doing it on your terms? I think that we only really start to grow in our Christian walk when we're ready to do things on his terms and we're ready for his answers instead of him trying to give us answers that fit within our lens of how we think he should answer. Because God really isn't interested in being put in my box of how he's allowed to work.
That's right.
We start to get concerned because all of a sudden we're like, well, is he even in the box? Is he there? He isn't there. He is fully outside of the box. And he wants to be there. I think living in purity starts when we're willing to live in open and honest relationships with other people. It doesn't mean it has to be everybody, but there has to be at least somebody that you know that's healthy that you can go to and you can get free. Because the Bible says that we confess our sins one to another that we may be healed. I know in our American individualistic society, we don't like that. That's a little bit awkward. We would prefer that God would do everything for me inside of the way that I think he should do it. But God never intended me to be an entity unto myself. In American English, we just have you. Now, if you were in Texas, they'd have a y'all. But we have a you that represents you single and singular and you plural, right? But the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in, is actually very specific on their verb endings. And so you can tell if, you know, the author is writing to you or to y'all. And basically all the epistles are written to y'all.
That's right.
And a lot of times we read the Bible through our American individualistic lens, and we try to apply it to our lives inside of individualism, but it doesn't really work that well that way. Because Jesus intended to be lived out through the context of relationship and community. And that's why it talks about whatever's done in the darkness. It's going to eventually come to the light. It's just whether or not it comes to light on our terms or outside terms. As people like the celebrities I just listed off are discovering. So God wants us, he desperately wants us to be walking in freedom. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. There's two things linked to freedom that I see in the Bible. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? Yeah. We need to be walking in truth. The Bible says if you hold to the truth, Jesus said that in John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to the truth, you're really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, know is not a intellectual assent to ideas. It's not, oh yeah, I've heard that before, I know that. No, no, no. Know in the Hebrew concept is experientially lived out. And that's why sometimes we have to hold to the truth, because the truth doesn't feel like the truth. Sometimes. When you actually look at the book of Psalms, a lot of it is David doing that. He's processing through whatever's going on in his life. God, my life's in chaos. God, what's going on? What's the deal? Where are you? He processes through the emotion of what's going on in his life, but in virtually every single psalm at the end, he reminds himself of the truth. I know that you're with me. I think something that makes a very, very big difference, whether a person's issue is purity or something completely related, is where we go to celebrate and where do we go when we're down. You guys have probably heard the term trigger before. You guys heard the term trigger? Not related to a gun. Trigger? No? It's like an Alcoholics Anonymous term. They would talk about in AA, people are more apt to go, if that's what they're addicted to, they're more apt to go to alcohol when they are feeling isolated, rejected, you know, fearful, lonely, hungry, depressed, tired, whatever, yeah. And sometimes I heard people say, man, I just feel like the enemy is attacking me because this happened, and now I feel whatever, a trigger to this. But a trigger was meant to be a trigger to Jesus. Because God wants to rewire our brains and how we think and process through life. That when I feel rejection, I don't instinctively go to impurity or instinctively go to the bottle, or I don't instinctively go to drugs, or I don't instinctively have to go shopping because a person can become addicted to that, or to food, or to gluttony, or to on and on and on, right? Pick whatever dysfunction you want to toss in the blank, right? But God intended it to be that when I feel rejection, I instinctively go to the one that actually is the healer. And I can process through what's going on in my life with him, just like David in the Psalms. And I can get healing and I can get wholeness. Because he knew what rejection was like. He knew what isolation was like. And then what starts to happen over time is as the right habit gets put into place, then all of a sudden a person feels rejection or whatever trigger you want to have. Because quite frankly, a person can't live a life in this world and never experience a trigger ever. But what happens then is a person feels a trigger and instinctively it becomes a trigger to Jesus. Because we've built up in our mind, this is of course where I go. Anything else is fool's gold. It's empty in comparison to the truth. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Cool. Good. So there's God's will and there's God's ways. It works a whole lot better to do things God's ways than to not do things God's ways and then get upset and change God's will to being, well, I guess he just wants me living in dysfunction or living a life without breakthrough or defeat or whatever. Amen? You guys doing good out there? Now, I don't want to try and overly simplify complex issues. There's a SOZO team here at this church if you feel the need there. I mean, there's a lot of different things that factor into dysfunction. It isn't just a simple, like sometimes I hear people, oh, the devil made me do it. Well, I don't want to pretend that there is no devil because that's pretty stupid. I don't want to pretend that the only issue going on is the devil because that would be probably equally off. You know, we're complex beings, you know. It can be an emotional issue, a spiritual issue, a relational issue, a bunch of different things. And they all kind of factor in together. And God wants to bring wholeness to us in a variety of ways. Amen?
Amen?
But one thing I want to do, this is just going to be real quick. In James chapter 4, verse 7, for me, James chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right? For me, steps that help me have a complete change in my life related to the issue of impurity were having triggers become triggers to Jesus instead of triggers to dysfunction. But then also just a simple prayer, submitting myself to God and resisting the devil. So I'm not going to put anybody on the spot here and say, who here has this dysfunction or that dysfunction? I'm sure there's enough dysfunction to probably, well, I hope there isn't that much dysfunction. Let's just say it that way. All right, is that better? But let's do this. We'll just do like a simple, this is like a two-prayer thing. I'll everybody stand up real quick. Because there's probably somebody sitting out there right now saying, Paul, I need something related to forgiveness, or I need something related to impurity, or I need something related to anything I just brought up, right? So we're just going to pray a simple prayer, submitting our... Now, I've heard it said like this. I think this makes a lot of sense. A dad was driving... Sorry, you guys are standing for a little bit here, but hang in there. If you were at the Vikings game and they were on the 10-yard line, you wouldn't have any problem standing for 10 minutes, right? All right, cool. A dad was driving with his son down the road in a car, and they see a bunch of vultures overhead out in the distance. And the dad looks at his son, and he says, son, what do those vultures mean? And his son thought for a moment. He says, well, it probably means that there's some kind of animal down below that's either dead or dying or something like that. He says, yeah, that's a pretty safe assessment. He says, now, what would you have to do if you wanted to get rid of the vultures? He said, well, he thought for a moment. He said, we could shoot the buzzards, but like, just new vultures would come back. So that really wouldn't work long term. He said, exactly. So what would you have to do? He said, well, I think the animal down below would need to be healed. And sometimes we make issues all spiritual warfare, and that can be an attachment down there, but there can be an emotional issue underneath, right? Anyway, so some of you might realize after today that you'd like to go and get a sozo and deal with inner healing issues. We're just going to pray a quick, simple prayer to get rid of buzzards. How's that? All right, so James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. We'll just do it that way. So you can just repeat after me. So Jesus,
I submit myself to you.
My mind,
my will,
my emotions,
my time,
my purity,
everything.
I give it to you. Amen. All right, now you can open your eyes, because now we're going to resist the devil, and we're not praying to the devil, right? All right, so just repeat after me. So,
Satan,
the Lord rebuke you.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I loose myself
from every stronghold,
any bondage,
any spirit
of unforgiveness,
impurity,
fear, anything. Get out and never return
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Good. All right, grab a seat. That was fun. I won't put you guys on the spot. Sometimes I put people on the spot, and I'm like, who has a testimony they want to share? Because people will be like, for example, in Montebello in East LA, there was a guy. I had voices in my head for 10 years straight, and for the first time, it just disappeared as they prayed over me. That's kind of fun, right? So I encourage you, if you got some fun testimony, when I went through what you just went through right there, I didn't feel anything, whatever. But I started realizing later, I was like, oh, I can be at a computer and I have peace. I'm not in a war. Like, I just have peace. Like, I can be at a computer and nothing impure comes in my mind. There's no temptation anymore. Wow, thank you, Jesus. This is cool. I like this. Works better that way. All right, anyway. So now we're going to get into healing time. If you have the problem, it doesn't matter if you're supposed to be dead by Tuesday or if, like, your pinky hurts a tiny little bit. Either way, we want to pray for you, okay? And there's probably a bunch of people in this room that would like to see a miracle happen when they pray. So don't sit there and say, well, I have the problem, but it isn't that bad. I know the guy over there has it worse. No, don't do that. All right? Cool. So we'll do, it depends on how our time holds out. Don't worry, I'm going to do at least 2 rounds of prayer for healing, okay? So if I don't call your condition the first time, the last time we do this, I'll hit whatever else that we didn't get, all right? So let's start by any kind of problem that I shared a testimony about. So if you have a knee problem, you have a lump in your body, you have metal in your body, you have an ear problem. It doesn't have to be a deaf ear. It could be ringing or hearing loss or anything. I don't care. Pain in your ear, that would work too. So, knee problem, metal, lump, ear problem. Go ahead and stand up if that's you. All right. You guys doing good out there?
Yeah.
All right. Well, 4 of you are doing good. I'm glad that 4 of you are. All right, if you are standing, I want you to put your hand in the air. If you are sitting, I need your help. I want you to stand up. I want you to go to somebody whose hand is in the air. And I want you to go to somebody that you did not drive to church here with today. Go to fresh blood. Don't go to the person that you've prayed for every single day for the last 25 years. All right, now I realize some of you are pros at praying for healing, but I'm going to walk you through it step by step for those of you that are not used to this, okay? So, if you have someone to pray for you, put your hand down. If you don't have anyone to pray for you, wave at me. Do we got everybody covered? Over there. Can somebody go to that gentleman back there? You got him? Awesome. Anybody else?
Joni there.
Lady in a white sweater. Yeah, you guys, well, it looks like they're going for it, right? All right, anybody else? Wave if I'm missing you. All right, cool. Good enough. Now, first thing, we need to find out what the problem is. Now, we don't need a whole medical history. 5 to 10 seconds long is sufficient. Go ahead. That should be enough information. All we're looking for is to know how to pray. Okay. Now, all right. Half of healing ministry is not getting intimidated by the problem. Some of you may have heard the problem and you're like, that sounds a little bit intimidating. Paul, come over here. No, no, no. You don't need Paul. You need Jesus.
Yes.
And he's right there with you. Amen. So, sometimes if I'm starting to feel intimidated by the problem, I just tell the person, this is really, really easy for Jesus. So I want you to tell the person, this is really, really easy for Jesus. And isn't having faith just believing it's easy for Jesus?
Yeah.
Right? All right. Now, I want you, now one of the ways that the anointing works is through the laying on of hands. Now, it's not a formula, but that is a common way that the anointing flows. So, what I want you to do is to put your hand specifically where they need healing, unless you should not put your hand there. Then just put your hand on their shoulder or something, okay? But if they have knee problems, you could put your hand on their knee. If it's both knees, God gave you two hands, right? All right. Now, when you pray for the person, I don't want you to ask, beg, and plead God to heal them, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to drive out the problem. Now, it doesn't matter if the problem is pain or metal or deafness or whatever. Whatever it is, just drive it out, okay? Now, if it helps you, think about it like this. Imagine that you're walking down the street and you're with very small children. And all of a sudden, you see a great big dog. And the great big dog is running towards your children. And the great big dog is barking and growling at your children. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, "Oh, big dog, go away"? Are you going to do that?
No.
No. You're going to say, "Big dog, get out," right? All right, now, I want you to imagine that the metal or the pain or the knee problem or the deafness or whatever it is a big dog, and God gave you authority over it, all right? So I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to touch him, and I want you to drive out the big dog in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody pray at once. Don't just take your turns as you're praying for a person, all right? Go for it out loud. Yeah, metal, get out. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Lumps, be gone. Cancer, out, go. I break you off in Jesus' name. Okay, that should be plenty. Now, great. Good job. Okay, now, if you're receiving prayer for something going on in your body, I want you to test it out. Try and do something you could not do before. If you had pain in the knees, check the knees out. How are they doing? If you had metal, see if you can try and feel the metal. There was a woman just in Plymouth at the last service that couldn't find her metal screws in her knee. If you had whatever, check it out. See what's going on in your body. I actually feel a heat on my right ankle. If you have a right ankle problem, check it out and see if that's being healed too. All right, now. Hello, hello, hello. If you can hear me, raise your hand. All right, if you can hear me, raise your hand. Yeah, we're getting there. All right, now, go ahead, put your hands down. If you felt a difference in your body, whether it's 2% better or 100% better, I want you to wave your hand nice and high at me like this. Yeah, I like that. That's looking good. Cool. Yeah, I think we can clap for that. Praise Jesus. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord God. All right. Now, if you are at least, say, 70% better for whatever they prayed for you for, wave your hand nice and high. Nice and high. Don't do this. Do that. All right? Nice and high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, like, I don't know, 15 maybe. All right, good enough. Now, we don't have time to hear all 15 of you share a testimony, but if your problem was particularly severe, like now you can't find the metal or, you know, a deaf ear popped open, or if you've just had the problem for a long, long time, put your hand up. Did anybody that... Were you putting your hand up? Did any of you have something very severe that Jesus just healed and you want to share testimony about? Sometimes when people know they'll have a microphone in front of their face, all of a sudden the hands become a little lower. All right, it doesn't have to be severe. Can I just get two of you to share a 20-second testimony? Who wants to share? All right, go ahead, come on up here. Is this, yeah, here we go. Cool, so what did Jesus do?
In 1995, I injured my ear shooting a shotgun and there was a slight tone dysfunction. And I felt something, I won't know until I'm alone in a room, but I felt when she prayed, something was going on. So I'm just believing it's done.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Good. One more. Can I get one more person to share a quick testimony? Yeah, come on up. All right, what did Jesus do?
I'd kind of injured my knee in the process of moving and just... doing a lot of things in the new house and things. And yesterday we were out hiking and it was really sore. And today coming in, it was pretty creaky and I can bend it.
Yay.
I can jump up and down.
Come on, Jesus.
I'm feeling about 75% better.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Holy declare 100% in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Good. Yeah, can we praise Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. All right, let's go for it again. Now, this time, go ahead, sit down. If you need a healing for anything, I don't care what, your whatever, your back hurts, your knee hurts, you have migraines, you have diabetes, you have an ingrown toenail, you have hemorrhoids, I don't care what it is. Jesus heals all of it, right? I remember getting a word of knowledge for a 15-year-old girl about hemorrhoids, and she was like, well... yeah, I'm happy I got healed, but I wish Jesus wouldn't have told you in front of the church. It's like, sorry. All right. I'm not going to put you on the spot. All right. If you need healing for anything, stand up. All right. Good enough. I'm amazed that there's still 25 people sitting down. All right. Good enough. So, now, those of you that are standing, actually, even if you're sitting down, go ahead and stand up. Because you're going to help pray, and there's more of them than you. So, all right. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, like, if I can get you guys kind of like in like a line, maybe you can, like, even close in across the middle gaps. I want you to put your hand on one person's shoulder on the left and the other person's shoulder on the right. Does that work? Or it's going to be one big happy family here. All right. All right. We're going to do this. This is like our expedited healing model right here, all right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to the person on the left and on the right and find out what they need healing for, and then you tell them what you need healing for, if you need healing for anything, all right? So not the whole medical history, right? Just pick like one or two things and then tell them. Okay, did you talk to both people? Yeah. All right, you found out what's going on? Yeah. All right, now, okay, go ahead, put your hand on the person's body where they need healing, unless you shouldn't put your hand there. So if person on the right needs a healing in their knee, and person on the left needs a healing in their shoulder, go like this number, all right? We're going to get our exercise here today at church. All right. Now, just like last time, go ahead and invite Holy Spirit to touch them and drive out the problem in both of their bodies, and just everybody pray at once. Go for it, out loud. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we curse cancer. We curse Alzheimer's. We curse every pain, every sickness, every disease. Get out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Give you glory. All right. Now, test it out. See what's going on in your body. Check out the back. Check out the knees. Check out the asthma. Check out the migraines, whatever it was. The teeth problems. All right. Now, some of you, I realize, you're going to be like the cows. We're not going to know till tomorrow whether or not you're healed, all right? But some of you, you probably already know. So if you feel, first of all, if you just feel any difference, 2% better, any percent better, wave at me nice and high. Who's feeling a difference? Yeah, it's nice to see you all. Good. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, if you are at least 70% better from whatever they prayed for you for, put your hand up nice and high. All right, good enough. Keep it up nice and high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, another probably 15 people. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Now, like two of you. Do I have two of you that really have a burning testimony you want to share about what just happened? All right, does anybody want to share about what Jesus just healed you of? All right, come on up. Really quick.
Well, I'm sure the Lord touched me. Can't prayed for me. And, you know, I had digestive issues. I got a little cold. I got walloped, you know, on the face. But I felt the anointing, too, you know. Yeah. And so I know that the Lord's taking care of it. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Good. One more. Anybody else? Yeah, I see a hand in the back. Come on up. You guys can grab a seat. All right. So what did Jesus do?
I've had a neck injury and migraine headaches for a really long time, and this is the clearest headed I have felt in probably 2 weeks.
Good.
My neck is hot and tingly.
Okay. How long did you had migraine headaches for?
Oh, my gosh. 20 years, maybe.
20 years?
Yeah.
And now?
I don't feel a thing. Well, I feel what I'm supposed to feel.
That's good. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is good. So I encourage you. Oh, one more? Come on up.
No, I just have a question.
Oh, yeah.
Can we pray for glasses to be gone? If you
look absolutely. I've seen probably 40 or 50 people not need glasses before through them praying for each other in services like this. Absolutely. Jesus heals blind eyes. Why not nearsighted eyes, right? All right. Do we got time for one more quick round of prayer for healing before I... All right. Sorry, this is going to put me 5 minutes behind. So, okay, if you need a healing for glasses or anything, all right? Because people have... How many of you feel a difference in your body on something, but it isn't perfect yet as a result of today's meeting? Yeah, I want to make sure, like in the Bible, Jesus prayed for the blind man. Ha, huh, that ties them both together. There we go. And the blind man, he saw people, but they looked like trees. So he didn't leave them that way the rest of his life. He prayed a second time, and then the guy was seeing perfectly. So, if you need a healing with your eyes, or if you need a second dose, in other words, you had an improvement, but you're not perfect yet, go ahead and stand back up. And then go ahead, put your hands on your neighbor on the left and right, find out what the problem is. You know what to do. Go for it. If they had an improvement, but not perfect yet, thank Jesus for what he's done and command again. Yeah, eyes open in Jesus' name. Blurriness, get out. That should be plenty. All right. Now everybody's got blurry vision because you just had hands all in your eyes, right? Got to wait 20 seconds or so. Try testing it out. See if you can read something you couldn't read, or you can maybe read a banner if you couldn't read that. The big word up there. I don't know, whatever limitations you had with your vision. Or if you had something you're just getting a second prayer for, check that out as well. All right. So, who now feels a difference in your body with whatever that they were just praying for you for? One? Who else? Nice and high. Don't do this. Like that. Nice and high. Over there, over there. Anybody else? All right. Over there. Cool. Anybody want to quick share what the difference is?
My vision's a little bit clearer.
Your vision is getting a little bit clearer.
Praise you, Lord.
All right.
I want to see you very clear. Thank you, Father and Jesus. Let's do it.
Thank you, Jesus. God is good. All right. Well, if people need more prayer, we'll like, because I'm really running behind. If people need more prayer, just go ahead, snag your friends, and pray as soon as our service is done here. Like, there's no reason that you can't keep going for it. And they'll also have prayer team up at the end, right, as well. So that'll work too. Go ahead, grab a seat real quick. I want to say this real quick. Now, it's pretty obvious Jesus is real, right?
Yes.
We don't have this kind of power. Well, we do because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, but I can't heal anything. Yeah. I can't make a pinky that hurts a little bit not have the pain go away. I can't do anything around this. Jesus is the healer. Jesus was a real guy who really lived, who really died on a cross, and really was raised from the dead. And people can say, well, that's impossible for someone to rise from the dead. And it is impossible. But Jesus does the impossible, and you've seen him do the impossible in your bodies here today. And he does it because he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. And it's really simple. All of us have done things wrong before. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And sin is just disobeying God. And because of this, we deserve to be punished. We deserve to be separated from God. But God didn't want this. He loves us. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross to take our punishment so that we could be saved from the punishment and the consequences of our sin. And we can have a relationship with God. So I wanted people to have a chance here today. Maybe there's somebody here today that you've never before prayed to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, to choose to turn away from what you've done wrong and follow him. And I wanted people to have an opportunity to do that now. So I just want everybody to close your eyes and bow your head. And if there's somebody here today that you have never before prayed to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you would like to do that right now, you can just let me know by raising your hand. Is there anybody here today? All right. Then I'm going to believe that everybody's already done that here today. So, cool. You guys can look up at me if you'd like. Sweet. God is good. Well, I encourage you. You saw Jesus heal a bunch of people. You guys applied the message. You didn't just say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for that person over there when I get home. Right? You went to the person and you saw Jesus do a bunch of stuff as you prayed. And I encourage you, as you go wherever you're going to go today or in the future, you can keep praying for people. I'm reminded, God brought back to mind this morning this woman from Croatia. I was in Croatia doing ministry a while back, and it was kind of funny. I got to the church that I was preaching at in Croatia, and I don't know if I should how much I should get into the story. This was how it happened. I think it's kind of ironic. So for anybody from a Catholic background, you'll find this maybe a little bit ironic. I walk into the church in Croatia, and somebody tells me, do you know what is, you know, the reason why we don't have revival in Croatia? And this other guy is like, what is it? And he goes, it's the Catholics. The Catholics are holding back revival. And I'm like just sitting there listening to that. And I'm like, okay, I have some theological differences with Catholics. I have a hard time believing they're holding back revival in Croatia, though. So at any rate, that day at church, there was a Catholic woman that came. And so people are praying for each other. A bunch of miracles happen. After lunch, people go out and eat, and they come, you know, we get a phone call. It was a Catholic woman. Oh, guess what happened? what happened? Oh, I went out with my family, and of course they were at Mass this morning, so they missed the healing service, but I offered to go pray for them, and four of them got healed at lunch. It was really kind of cool. Well, there was another service on Tuesday. Guess who shows up? The Croatian Catholic woman who's stopping revival in her country. I said, how has your last couple days been? She says, well, it's been really good. You know, I've just really been trying to apply what you've said about just praying for people wherever I go. And I said, and what's happened? Oh, Jesus is healing many people. I said, well, for example, oh, lots. I said, she said, you know, I don't know, probably 8 or 9 people since Sunday, you know, since, you know, I had lunch with my family that had been healed outside of church, just praying for people. Yeah. I said, well, that's really good. Well, Thursday, I had another service there in Zagreb, and guess who shows up? My Croatian Catholic friend who's stopping revival. How are you doing? Oh, really good. It's been a really fun week this week. Well, what's happened? Oh, even more miracles. I said, well, okay, I need one testimony. Oh, okay. Well, so I was at my house, and my neighbor is there, and he has this guy who's mowing the yard. And so I just went over to the guy, and I said, well, hey, do you want to feel something cool? Do you want to feel God touch you? And you guys have done the Holy Spirit encounters here in the past. You guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you maybe do. And the man's like, okay. And she says, okay, just put your hands like this. And so the man puts his hands like this. And she says, okay, just say, Holy Spirit, come. So the woman says, or I'm sorry, the man cutting the yard says, Holy Spirit, come. And she says, okay, now what do you feel? And the man's like, well, I feel a pain in my leg. She's like, wait a second. People were feeling heat and wind and tingling, and nobody got pain when we invited the Holy Spirit to touch them. And she's a little bit confused, and the man says, no, you don't understand. That's the first time I felt anything in my leg in 12 years. It's waking up right now. She's like, oh, this is good. Thank you, Jesus. On Saturday, another service. Guess who shows up? My Croatian Catholic woman friend who's stopping revival in her country. And she had fun that night. Everybody's praying for each other, a bunch more miracles, and people leave and they go home. And she goes, I'm going to go find more sick people. I can't stop. This is so much fun. I had one last service Sunday morning. Go back to the original church. And what do I hear? Those same couple of guys talking. Well, I don't think we can blame the Catholics for stopping revival in our country, because I think she's had more fruit in the last week than I have in my entire life as a Christian. But it goes to show a point, and that is that God's just looking for the hungry that are willing to take a risk. Healing never backs theology. It doesn't validate that everything I told you today was right. Just because people got healed. Now, I wasn't obviously trying to purposefully mislead you. Healing just shows God's heart for people. Yeah. He loves them and he wants them healed and touched.
Come on. Amen.
Right. And he's just looking for people who are willing to give him an opportunity. So who wants to see the anointing on your life increase greatly? Yeah. I got a really simple secret. Pray for people outside of church. Because yeah. You can't mistake the link between healing and evangelism in the Bible.
That's right.
In fact, how evangelism is done is by healing in the Bible. It's Jesus sending out his disciples and say, go get a bunch of people healed and then tell them about who healed them. And that's what we see in Acts chapter 3 with Peter and John and the crippled guy at the temple gate. Guy gets healed. They tell everybody, this is who the healer is. And we can do the exact same thing today. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And people always ask my mom, because she runs the book table back there, does Paul have any new books? So I brought this one. I highly recommend it. It's called Humility, and it's talking about the hidden key between humility and signs and wonders and how they factor in together. And even how I began to see miracles happen in my own life was when I realized I can't do it. God, nobody I pray for gets healed. It's God bringing us back to that place of dependence on him and knowing it ain't us. But he wants to touch people through us. So I got that one and then the others, and cool. That's all. God bless you. Thank you for having me here.